love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Automatically deleted. I sent a postcard today to my wife. I wrote on it, you know, and I understand, she has beautiful handwriting. Mine is, well, remains pathetic. I heard today about a family in a cab in the Donbass that was hit by Ukrainian shelling. The mom was physically unhurt, but watched her husband and son die in the cab. It reminds me of the Tamal family. Our story is different. I love you, I love you, I love you, your man. The Tamal family. Well, there's the family with the picture of the dad, and there's the dad dying. With a son and daughter almost killed, but they got to just watch their dad die. It just, because the difference is, the Tamal family, they didn't go there with any desire or intent to die. This family in the Donbass, and again, they're in the Donbass, which is either part of Ukraine or part of Russia, depending upon who you want to see, talk about. But they're in a city. There's no military targets around, and Ukrainian shelling kills them. Which, you know, again, from my understanding, it was like 14,000 for the first 8 years, you know, because it started in 2014, not 2022. So the number was about 14,000 of Ukraine killed within the Donbass region, the vast majority civilians, because that's where they target the civilians. And the rate apparently has gone up, but it's only been a year because they're shelling like crazy. And you know, this is, and of course they're dropping the petal mines and all those kind of things that are just, anyway, I saw that. And the difference is, again, in the case of the Tamal family, in the case of, this family, I don't know their name. They didn't, there was no one in the family who says, this is what we plan to do today. 5 years from the day this happened, my wife orchestrated the dissolution of our family. She did it voluntarily. And I know the rationalization, well, you pushed her or you know, all sorts of other things. No, there's no communications. She simply did it. And she had the help of, you know, Render Canes and Covenant Presbyterian Church, and obviously accepted back at MetaView. My impression is never rejoined as a member, but clearly Chris Bitterman, you know, did not work with me, told me not to contact him again, and did send the police to intimidate me. So, you know, there's a difference between what happened in Donbass, where the enemy today was Ukraine. In this case, the enemy was the U.S. government. In our family case, the enemy is my wife. And I still love her. And I still want to reconcile with her, even though it's been 10 years. The weekend wasn't ideal, but in the process, one thing led to another, some spurred by dialogue, some spurred by exhaustion. Hit a little bit harder. I don't know. It's hard to put in 12-hour days for some reason. I watched several old videos, and I'll leave the links. One from, the story from RT about the family, it just happens to be on Kozlowski.org, so I'll have the link there. It's only a couple-minute video. I'll plan to use that picture. I watched this thing from 2021 about evidence about the vaccine. You know, because in it I talked about the spike proteins and how it results in clocks, clock, clots. Yeah, you can tell the time. Clots, blood clots. And it ends up, you know, the purpose is genocide. And, you know, that was, well, October 2021. So that's what, a year and a half ago about. And I would suggest it, what I told you happened. You know, you don't hear much about the blood clot issue anymore, because there are other factors that have shown up also, but apparently that's still a major factor, because you know there's the microclots, which is hard to measure, except with the D-dimer test, which I've expressed. There is something about these real long clots that are forming. I just saw some blurb about a young child who died, and there was a blood, this fibrous things within their, in the veins, that was like goes from the heart to the foot or something, that something ridiculous. And somehow it was in the died suddenly video that came out a while back, where they showed a bunch of that. Apparently there's a whole bunch of people finding that kind of thing now. It's kind of like, and that's why we need to get a booster shot, right? Just, it's genocide. And I really wonder how many of my kids have been vaccinated. They're still my kids, and I still love them. You also find, because they were related, I did a one called, it was The Hike, OPCW, Children of War, Acts 2020. And then it got to me. That was one of these videos where I dropped in a whole bunch of other little images and video clips and whatnot. And that one really did get to me. Because the, you know, obviously hikes are big deals, but I have discussed many times before the fraud behind the OPCW. And because, you see, this is a huge institution, and the institution protects the institution. You might have heard me say this before. And what they did is they got rid of the whistleblowers, and they continue to lie. They've been doing it. Recently, I mentioned a month ago or so, where they came out with yet more evidence violating their own procedures, so showing yet more evidence of chemical weapons in Syria. You know, complete violation. You know, they violated the procedure that they had in place. They have in place to keep somebody from putting in something tainted in order to give a false impression. So somebody probably put something in tainted to give a false impression, because that's exactly what happened in Duma. I mean, unambiguously, because that's what the whistleblowers showed. But again, remember what happened is they got rid of the whistleblowers. Plural. There were several of them. And when some of them were willing to testify before a UN committee, one, the U.S. government would not let them in the country, so they had to do it over video. Two, when it came to the presentation, the U.S. delegation walked out. We don't want to hear. So, I mean, this is consistent. But then I also mentioned the Children of War series that RT did back some time ago, and I'll give you the link to those videos, because yes, I have those. And those ripped me apart. Those really ripped me apart. Especially, you'll find there was the line in there from the one lady, a mom, talking to, I believe she was talking to the gentleman who was the spearhead in getting these kids back. And I think it was the time when the report was 95 kids were returned to family. And She said, please, never stop doing what you're doing. I mean, this was years ago. And at that time, I pointed out, I won't stop either. And you might have noticed, I haven't stopped. That really got to me. Then there was related, I have there, the Bible, marriage, reconciliation, and the fraud of the institutional church, which is on BitChute. But because I listened to them again and listened to the arguments that I gave. And, you know, I think maybe I have some clarity and some things in order to express it probably a little stronger. But I did not find any fallacies from them. There was also one about the biggest problem plaguing humanity and the conspiracy behind it exposed. This was a gentleman I've talked about before, and the video that he did, I give you the link because it's on Kozlowski.org. And you know, this is when I was writing more things, because this goes back to October 8th of 2018. And in the text here, I wrote, in the voicemail was mentioned a video, the biggest problem plaguing humanity and the conspiracy behind it exposed. And he goes through a lot of things. Well, while it is a blatantly non-Christian perspective, there's a lot of wisdom offered. He points to what our kids are being set up for because their mom has abandoned their dad and is refusing reconciliation. The list includes things like drug abuse, alcoholism, suicide, marital issues. It needs to be pointed out strongly that the world sees this, but refuses to the cure, which is obedience to Christ. The great concern is that the pastors, elders, and my wife have talked about obedience to Christ, but when it comes to the Lord's definition of marriage, the Lord's command to reconcile, the Lord's command to give an answer for the hope in you, the Lord's command to love, that doesn't apply to them. So what's the difference between the actions of Jim Cross, Render Keynes, Chris Bitterman, and my wife compared to the world's ways? Unfortunately, nothing. However, the Lord's grace is new every morning, Lamentations 3, and I live in the hope that at least one of those mentioned will consider reconciliation with me. With over 2 years of voicemails, it should be clear that I remain at the table pursuing this. And now there are over 6 years of voicemails, and I am still at the table pursuing this. And there's more written there. The gentleman's video, Lou Radowski, is there. And, you know, because, and again, this is years ago. And he talks about how the cultural degradation that's happening, coming from a secular perspective, and how things are just collapsing. And I'm seeing, what I find fortunate, I've seen a number of people point out, and I think it's him or somebody else recently pointed out that the percentage of people who are married longer than 20 years is plummeting. And it was just after 20 years my wife abandoned me. You know, which is more than most unfortunate. But there's this idea of endure to the end, demonstration of stamina. 10 years later, I'm not giving up. But there was one other in there. A frank talk on suicide. My home is your home. I will never cast you out. That one, I think, was, if I recall, relatively short, because, you know, there was a it's only 8 minutes. the image is a gentleman, Brandon Bryant. You know, there was one video I actually mixed his name up with Daniel Hale. But anyway, because you know, I think in one video I said the one person I really wanted to meet was Brandon Bryant. Well, actually, I corrected myself. The one person I want to meet is Daniel Hale, you know, him. But I'd be more than happy to meet Brandon Bryant, because I look at both these gentlemen, young guys, and see them as radically different than me. I mean, in their lifestyle and things of that nature. You know, I don't think would be the best buddies kind of thing. But I also think that we can have a respectful and maybe a decent relationship, in the sense of, yeah, we don't like to do the same things together, maybe, but there would be a mutual respect, because I think some of the things that drive them are what drive me. If you go to the link, which the video I did, this is 2021, September 14th, I also have the video Unheard Voices, which was a short series done by RT. And this is where I got the picture of him putting his hand, you know, as a gun into his mouth when he talked about attempting suicide. Because I wanted to get that message across. So when you put all these things together, you know, the thing about from Lou Radowski about the collapse of the family and lack of reason to live, I wanted to make sure that my kids know, because they heard it from me basically all their lives. My home is your home. I will never cast you out. That stands. Unquestionably, that stands. You know, but there was one other thing that I wanted to mention. There was news Saturday, Sunday. I think it was over the weekend. Anyway, China brokered a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. So Iran now and Saudi Arabia have worked out a deal to exchange ambassadors, which they broke off several years ago. They're working on a deal where, because you know, they're separated by some water, and in the middle of that water is an oil field. Worked out a deal to share that oil field and so forth. And this was brokered by China. On one side of the coin, you can say, well, this is good, you know, because the tension level between the two countries drops dramatically. When you have real serious economic ties, you don't go to war with people who have serious economic ties with. So there's a growing bond there. This is happening a whole lot. And this is probably the biggest one thus far, but this isn't the only one. There's several others that have happened brokered by China. Turkey has been involved in some negotiations between feuding countries. Russia has. But obviously, China is the biggest player on the field. And I think what you see here, the fact that we're talking about oil and what's going to happen, is because Iran is sanctioned by the U.S. But if they're dealing with Saudi Arabia, because, you know, they have plenty of customers, like Russia has plenty of customers, even though the U.S. says go away. So they have plenty of customers, even, and including Europe, but, you know, a lot of the Russian oil, the way it's getting to Europe, and it's still getting to Europe, is they sell it to like to China, and China then resells it to Europe, which increases the cost to Europe, which is the technical term there again is stupid. But it's just politics. And then and from what I understand, and I can just imagine, when ships, when planes fly, they have their transponders to say, I'm here. And this way, there's these, what is it? Flight 24 or whatever, a website where you can look at all the planes around the world. Because this is basically public information. Well, they have the same thing for ships. And there's a website, I think I've seen it at least once, or at least a picture of it, and where you can basically see all the major ships all around the world, where they are. Except sometimes the ships go dark. They turn off their transponders to say, well, I'm here. I'm not going to tell you where I'm at anymore. I'm not going to talk anymore. They turn it off. Obviously, with satellites and other things, there are ways to find them. But that overt, I'm here, I'm in the system, they turn it off. And why does that happen? It happens when two oil tankers turn off their location information, come up and buddy up and transfer oil in the middle of the ocean between each other. So a Russian gas can be pumped to, for example, China, through India or places of that nature, and put on a oil tanker, make its trip, pass the fuel off, which is an expensive process, and then go to like Europe. And here it is, and it's not Russian oil anymore. And the way they get around some of that apparently is it could be, 99% Russian oil, and they put like 1% of something else in. So it's a blend. And therefore, it's no longer officially Russian oil. And, and apparently everybody knows this is being done. But you can say out loud, oh no, we're not getting Russian oil. We're paying more for our oil than we used to, but we're not getting Russian oil. It's ridiculous. And this is the world we live in. But so with Iran and Saudi Arabia, the tension level dropping, it's going to have an impact in the oil world. But there's another aspect to this. Is Saudi Arabia has already, with China already, and clearly with whatever dealings, because I don't think they'll be selling to each other, but they're doing the common thing. Trading the oil in dollars is going to reduce even more. Because the U.S. dollar is called the petrodollar. One of the fundamental reasons the U.S. dollar has become the dominant currency in the world is because Saudi Arabia in 1973 or something of that nature made the agreement with the U.S. We will trade always in U.S. dollars for oil in exchange for defense and things of that nature. And that's breaking down, which means the petrodollar is breaking down. So now we have things like the, they call it the petro yuan, it's going to be a big deal. Petro ruble. and the petro rupee, the Indian. So oil is no longer being dominated by the U.S. dollar, and therefore the dominance of the U.S. dollar diminishes. And so when we see the fact that militarily, again, U.S. doesn't win wars, apparently somebody well-placed I think in the U.S., has come out and said, well, yeah, Ukraine's going to lose the war. I mean, other people have been saying that for a long time, but now people in because I've heard some people in UK or whatever are saying, yeah, you know, this, we're going to lose this. So this is coming out more and more. And, you know, it's the idea of, oh, we're going to send tanks and whatnot. And we're going to send one tank next year. Kind of like, so it really is collapsing. And I really think there's the real possibility for a sudden end. And that sudden end may be a variety of possibilities. An internal rebellion. You know, it's such a corrupt government in the first place. The idea of some of them getting together and say, okay, we're going to take out, you know, at least Zelensky, perhaps others. And when they take him out, it would be take him out in a coffin. Come up with a new government, and then that new government may say, can we talk? Something of that nature may occur. It could be the, you know, it's been talked about the, you know, so-called decapitation strike, where the Russians would strike Kiev in such a way that would kill the leadership, which I don't think is likely. But, you know, then there's just the internal revolt, you know, enough is enough by the people, within Ukraine. And there are, just simply, something, some way may be offered, you know, cause several, all the branches, you know, have been proposed, and, the current government may say, oh, well, now this time we'll talk, you know, because they realize, well, they'll be imposed upon to end this. But the point of all this is, when you see things happening like this in the world stage, the major player of the world for the last, well, especially since, you know, 91, the fall of the Soviet Union, has been the U.S., that is semi-officially over, and in the next couple of years, overtly over, you know, because China will take over as the dominant economic power. That is quite clear. The impetus militarily of the U.S. is continuing to show, and people are looking at the U.S. as the aggressor. The reason being is the U.S. is the aggressor. We were the aggressor in Afghanistan. We were the aggressor in Vietnam. We were the aggressor in Syria. We were the aggressor in Libya, and so forth, and Yemen, and so forth. And we are the aggressor in Ukraine. Again, because the whole thing is the, you know, it's typically noted the F the EU comment by Victoria Nuland as, you know, because we're going to put in this leadership. And that's exactly what happened. So the Maidan revolution and all these kind of things that, you know, orchestrated by the people who were, by the U.S., you know, George Soros, Joe Biden was part of that at the time, even back then, and so forth. So, We're the aggressor, and I think because we basically have lost in Afghanistan, we have lost in Syria, even though we still occupy like a third of the country. That is a problem. We in a real sense lost in Iraq because of the hate that has been built up against us, and so the only reason we're still there and in Syria is because we force ourselves there with our military. It's not that we're invited. We're not invited into Iraq. We're not invited into Syria. We weren't invited into Libya, and we're not looked upon well because we overthrew one of the most economically profitable countries in Africa, and, you know, turned it into, you know, as it's often mentioned, the open air slave markets now in that country. Wasn't a good thing. So the U.S. militarily has been pretty pathetic. So we're weak. The UK is weak. France has been pretty weak too. We're losing in Africa. Europe, you know, France, the UK, and Holland also, and because they were the colonizing countries in Africa, the get out of here stuff is really on the rise within Africa, big time. And who are they, welcoming? Russia and China. I don't know how much India is. Well, because India is part of BRICS, probably India too, but I don't see it as overt. So the dominance of the US and Europe in Africa is quickly waning. So we're losing economically, we're losing militarily. And the ability to think is not something the U.S. can do. We don't train people to think. We train people to fill a position and have a certificate. To think, to reason things through, we don't do. You follow in line with what the policy is, not what reason dictates. So let me warn my kids, the next generation. You're being set up for a big-time fall. Big-time fall. Because, you know, the those with engineering minds and whatnot, you know, it used to be people would come here to the U.S., especially 100 years ago, because you had, it used to be Europe. Then it became the U.S., where people would think things through. Now, you know, because there's some history showing late 1800s, there was the shift away from that in the U.S., and it took a long time, but it's here. We have the snowflake generation. Tell me your right pronoun and I won't insult you and don't ask me to think. Tell me what to do. You know, again, I mentioned, what was it, a year ago or so, when I went and bought some CBD oil and talked with one gentleman who was about 30, I think, and he said the problem with his generation and the people younger than him, they don't know what to do. They will tell me what to think. You know, that innovative or self-reliant idea that was, you know, the independent streak in the United States is gone. And that's my kids' generation. What are they going to be like? One of the analogies that I came up with, and I'm going to maybe try to refine this because I may use this. If you give a man some land and a shovel, he can feed his family and take care of his family. If you give a man some land and a tractor, he can take care of a community. If you give a man a grocery store, you've enslaved him. I really think, you know, when I put those steps together, it's kind of like, yep, yep. Anyway, my kids are going to be enslaved, not just, you know, growing food and things of that nature, but in so many other ways. They're going to be in, you know, I've seen I remember watching some stuff, I think either when I was there or shortly after I left in the UK, and you saw there was the culture of I'm timid. That's come to the US, but much, much stronger. And the objective is not to be the bully. You know, it's the 1 Corinthians 16. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Be strong. Act like men. Let all that you do be done in love. And I didn't have to look that one up. It's a big deal. And I want to encourage George, Walter, and Zadok to live that. I would also like to encourage Jack to do the same. But he has a whole lot of repenting to do first, doesn't he? But it's possible. Because again, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you. That has been my prayer for Jack. And of course, 1 Corinthians 7:11 is something I so much want for my wife. But anyway, I went through a lot of things. I was hoping by today to email a bunch of people saying, all right, will you do a demo account and give me your feedback? I have a bug that apparently it locks up, and I have to find that. But the tools are basically in place. So I got to find that bug, because, you know, if the site isn't working, can you test this? It doesn't work, but can you? That's a logical problem with that. So I want to have that done maybe by midweek. You know, keep missing my first time I've ever missed a deadline. Which this is the way to do it if you work for a big corporation. But, you know, obviously I can't afford this, but I'm trying. But, you know, I want to do this right. And I'm trying to deliver. And I'm delighted. I'm really, really delighted. My friend Chris, we talked today because he had some issues. But he also has turned the tables on me. And he's given me the challenge. Are you delivering? And I love it. I love it to have someone say, you've got to do this. It's really a joy. It really is a joy. Anyway, I'm getting long again. There's a bunch of videos that I watched and I'm linking to. Remind you, some of these things are old. There's this family in Ukraine. Well, actually, the family used to be in Ukraine. They're in the Donbass. They're still in the Donbass. They were in the Donbass. They're still in the Donbass because that's the name of the region. But that's part of Russia, and I don't think it's going back. and they were killed by Ukrainian shells. Probably made by NATO countries or made by the U.S. So this woman lost her husband and child, probably to a U.S.-made weapon. They were in a cab. You know, a obvious military target, right? They were in a cab. The shell hit nearby bus depot, if I recall, or something like that nature. Again, not a military target. And the shrapnel went through the cab. Killed him. And there's this lady now without her husband and without her son. What's it like for her? She's probably in serious agony. It's kind of like this gentleman here, Shadi Sheda, who was on my wall, who had a missile hit his home. In this case, killed his wife and kids. So same thing, except this case, the husband and dad survived. In this other case in Ukraine, or in Donbass in Russia, the mom, the wife, survived. In our case, the wife and the husband are both alive. But the wife abandoned the husband. What's the difference between the three? It seems, my guess is, the difference is, in the case of, especially considering some of the videos I saw of the Shadi Sheda and his family, there was love there to the end. I don't have any information, but I have no reason not to believe the family in the Donbass lost the husband and son. There was probably love there. I have no reason to believe my wife loves me. You know how much that hurts? But we used to have, started in our bedroom over the fireplace. It later moved. One day it was in the bathroom, and my assumption is it was flushed down the toilet. A little artsy craftsy thing that had 1 Corinthians 13 on it. And my assumption is my wife simply doesn't believe it. But I do. Especially verse 8. Love never ends. My wife has ripped me apart. And I love her. Dorothy Chain, my lady, my wife. I love you and I want you back.